You're listening to Radio Influence.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Monday edition of the Dark Delight Podcast with
New Week Monday Val and
it is me, Beans, and we are here again on Monday in a new week.
Yes.
Yes. And it was a great weekend. Yesterday, we both premiered the episode from Friday on our respective YouTube platforms.
And to great reception and to great crowds of people. You know, the stuff that we do on this show doesn't really get live audiences anywhere. So I think it was nice for people to gather around and actually listen to something together as a collective listening party.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah,
it was really good. You know, a lot of people. I guess we should go through this a little bit real quick before we get on with things. A lot of people were saying, well, how come you didn't ask this? Why didn't you ask that? You know,
you could have asked 59,000 things.
And, you know, I have a list of questions that I was scribbling furiously as he was talking. Right. But he doesn't get to talk on shows very often. You know, he doesn't get to actually answer a question in full the way he wants to. And, you know, I'm not going to interrupt when he's speaking to redirect him when goodness knows what else he could say.
Right. Well, the approach I always have with somebody that I hope, you know, obviously Devin Nunes is a pretty busy guy. But I always assess the kind of guest I'm having on, whether I have hopes or expectations to have them on again. And I try to build a foundation. And I try to cover the basics and make sure that everybody is following along at the same time. Yeah. And I think that we got a lot of really, really great foundational things in there. And some pretty provocative questions were asked. You just have to take what he gives you back. And then next time around, you get deeper down the rabbit hole. I mean, I wasn't out of nowhere. If I was thinking about things like Uranium-1, but you can't come out of nowhere with that stuff.
Not when you're having a good conversation with somebody that's organically flowing. You don't just break it up with nonsense, not nonsense, but like with other questions that aren't pertinent to what he's saying. And he was so gracious with us and it was really great. I think we'll have him back. So
cool.
It'll be awesome. But I just wanted to talk about that stuff. Tell Abe that we're busy. Will ya?
Okay. Abe, stop.
Our friend Abe is sending us messages and I keep seeing the notification flash down on my phone. Anyway, Abe made the podcast. So lots of things happened over the weekend. We're going to do some COVID quarantine reopening stuff. We're going to do some General Flynn stuff. We're going to do some crazy media nonsense stuff. And we'll start with, where do we even start?
I don't know. I'm following you today.
Okay. Let's start with this clip that I'm going to play for you. This was the Obama administration back in 2017 in January, Frank. This was January 13th, 2017. The State Department was giving a press conference in the
U.S.
You ready?
Oh, yeah.
This is very important.
You probably have seen reports starting yesterday, but then more of them this morning about contact between the incoming National Security Advisor and the Russian ambassador. I'm just wondering, from the State Department's point of view, is this something that's of concern at all? Or I'll just leave it there and then follow up.
Again, not necessarily. I've seen the reports. I don't think they've been confirmed or corroborated yet. But he's part of the transition team. That's really for them to speak to and how they are engaging. I mean, the president-elect is also engaged on his own with many world leaders. I don't want to speculate and I don't want to.
This building doesn't see anything necessarily inappropriate about contact between members of the incoming administration and foreign officials, no matter what country they're from,
no.
Right?
No, And again, this has been ongoing. I mean, we stand ready if they want to work through the State Department to contact some of these individuals. but we have no, you know, no comment or no problem with them doing such on their own.
I'm sorry. What?
I have played this clip at least three dozen times since 2017. It's everything you need to know. This is Obama's State Department still at the time telling you, no, it's fine that that member of the transition team, weeks and weeks after the election was over, was talking to foreign dignitaries. In fact, we would have set up the call if he had asked.
Yeah.
But of course, he didn't ask because it was all a trap.
Not only that, but this is literally in the midst of them trying to pull some Logan Act charge out of their pockets.
Exactly.
Which gives you an idea of which department probably didn't really know much about this at the time. And I'd say it's the State Department of all places. It doesn't seem.
Of all places.
Yeah. I mean, we could be wrong. I could be wrong about that. But it doesn't seem like they seem read in on what the Justice Department is doing right now.
Well, this guy in particular, he was just a fill-in that day. I don't know. I forget who his name is, but I don't think that he was the one that did the briefings usually.
No, this is the guy from the State Department, though. They do their own briefings.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah,
so, but it was the last one they ever did.
Yes. This was the last one. Yep. So in that same vein, you know, we have a lot of people trying to figure out how they got this phone call of, if there was no unmasking requests, how did they get the transcript of his phone call with Sergey Kislyak? Dan Bongino did a show on Friday where he had a whole bunch of, you know, theories on how that has really taken hold. I tend to have a little bit of a different theory, which I'm going to outline for everybody today, because I think that basically Dan is asserting that Barack Obama ordered the surveillance under like a quasi FISA, you know, sort of a loophole that's available to the president. The attorney general has to approve. So he's saying that Barack Obama ordered that call to be intercepted or basically transcribed, and that.
Okay. Yeah. So then at that point, but you know, and that's the other thing here too. It came back around to when Devin Nunes told us, well, don't try to read too much into the circumstances around the call. That's something that Dan Bongino and others have spent a considerable amount of time speculating as to, you know, how did they know the call was coming in? Obviously, you can create the impetus for some kind of communication between Russia and the Trump campaign by these last minute sanctions to try to create some kind of international problems as you're walking out the door, and also to bolster what is going to be a major sticking point for your campaign and for the bureaucrats you're leaving behind by giving more reinforcement to the whole idea that Russia was this imminent threat that was trying to take down democracy in America itself. So, I mean, I know you can set the stage there, but it also comes down to, were you just expecting any call to come in at that time?
He did something. He did something. And let's just break this down a little bit, because he wasn't just expecting any call. Let me just make a note really quick. So there's a couple different things to unpack here. And another thing I'll say is that, you know, for the most part, Lee Smith and Congressman Nunes are both right, even though we're supposed to call him Devin, which I thought was really cool. so I'm like, all right, Devin. So for the most part, they're both right. So they both say, you know, stop, don't get so involved in the details, which really jives well with you, because that's what you've been saying too, right? I understand that. And they're right for the most part. I'm going to disagree here a little bit. Number one, they're right. And remember Lee Smith told us in all the transcripts that were going to be released, the one common thing that was going to be in there is that nobody had any evidence of collusion.
Yes.
He's right. But to ignore the rest of the juice in those transcripts would be very silly, because if you're interested in figuring out this story for what it is, and if you're interested in being the quote source that Devin Nunes comes to find information to feed their investigation, stopping at, look, they all said no Russian collusion doesn't help. That's not enough. So there's more here. Now, I disagreed with Congressman on one of the things he said. And I tried pushing back against it and we had to move on. We couldn't stay on it. But the 702 abuse, he was very, I don't think he understood what I was asking. I don't think he understood that I was asking about the abuse of the 702 database by government contractors. It was a huge part of this story. It stopped the use of 702 queries inside of the FBI for the rest of the time. And Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, when that decision came down from the FISA court, as they investigated this, quote, abuse by government contractors, as that was happening, Peter Strzok and Lisa Page texted up, guess we're moving from the Patriot Act to a wire carrying current, meaning we have to go back to traditional surveillance from using the Patriot Act or 702 queries to spy on folks, which makes it a lot more difficult for them to spy on folks because it's a lot harder to get, you know, adequately to present information, to get a warrant or even a FISA warrant, even though they managed to do that without worrying about it, than it is to just wantonly surveil. And so the reason why I asked that question, and I'll get back to what you're saying in a second, I'm sorry. The reason why I asked that question is because there was a report that came out from the IG in January of last year, where the IG says that they found that there were people abusing inherent governmental functions within the FBI. There were contractors abusing an inherent governmental function, which would be counterintelligence investigation techniques that contractors are not supposed to be able to do. I'll put the articles in the show notes. And that's what led me to the transcripts of Fusion GPS. And again, I was trying to get confirmation that I still feel, and this may or may not come out, and I'm leaning towards it may not now because Devin Nunes didn't really address it, that Fusion GPS was a government contractor. And that the reason why the wrong Michael Cohen was found in Prague is because they were using the power of the 702 query to find where Michael Cohen was to backfill their dossier with it.
Yep. And they just found a Michael Cohen.
Right. Not the Michael Cohen. Yes. And so that question that I was asking him that I don't think that he wanted to touch with a 10-foot pole, to be fair, was for that purpose. I hope that makes sense. Now, that being said, there was a lot going on right before this call. Obama kicked out all those diplomats. He knew it was going to provoke a response from the from Sergei Kislyak. He expelled like 19 Russian diplomats from different places where they do their intelligence gathering and stuff like that, usually under legal means. He kicked them out, said you're not allowed back in again. That's a huge deal. In addition to sanctions. And here is where you remember Lee Smith was talking to us and we asked him about why he lied or why people are saying he lied to Vice President Pence.
Yeah,
he didn't. Remember, he talked about how there was a difference between the sanctions and the expulsions.
Oh, Lee Smith, you're talking?
Yeah.
I remember it, but I don't remember all the details of what he was, how he explained it. But yeah, I remember the topic coming up.
Yeah, it was very detailed. And that's understandable because I listen to it more closely because of where my brain is always focused. But he didn't lie to Vice President Pence. He was never asked about sanctions. They didn't ask him about the sanctions. They put the sanctions in his indictment. But when Pence is saying, did you lie to me about sanctions? General Flynn is saying, no, I didn't lie to you about sanctions. We didn't talk about sanctions. They didn't talk about sanctions on the phone. They talked about these diplomats being expelled. So this entire thing that Flynn lied to investigators about sanctions is bull because he never talked about sanctions in that interview. He never talked about them. So he was being very honest in his response to Sean Spicer and Vice President Pence.
Okay. And this is the interview on what date?
The 124 when the 124-17 when okay. The FBI agents came in and talked to him. They asked him about sanctions.
Yeah.
Flynn said, I never talked about sanctions. I don't remember talking about sanctions. He didn't.
Mm.
So Climate Audit did a good thread on that.
You know, but once again, that's the whole thing there. Was it luck of the draw that Kislyak called Flynn, because he acted, everybody's human, including Kislyak over there. What if he didn't call Flynn? What if he made some sort of a public response or some sort of a public questioning of Barack Obama's motives and all that stuff instead of calling Flynn up? You know,
yeah.
what was the chances that they actually got him, caught him on a call, him calling up?
This is why I do not agree with Dan Bongino's theory that this was coming from Obama. You're right. What are the chances? Probably close to zero, except Dan Bongino argues that the reason why is because he was in the Dominican Republic, and how many calls are going to come in from Kislyak to the Dominican Republic at that time? So,
well, not only that, but the other thing that we've been able to get really a big grasp on in the last week, and Devin Nunes brought it up on Friday, is we're seeing dozens of unmasking attempts, dozens of attempts that are focused around Michael Flynn in the lead up to that call. So maybe it was just, you know, hitting the lottery when Kislyak called up Flynn, because they were already intent on building some sort of a suspicion narrative around him. Obviously, they're keeping a close eye on him.
Yes, they were. But I am going to work this out today. I have some things to do in the midday, but in the afternoon, I'm going to lay this out for everybody, what my theory is here. Because in the transcripts, in the 20-page filing from the DOJ wanting to dismiss the case against General Flynn, there's a lot of details in there that people are just completely sailing right over and not paying any attention to. And a lot of them have to do with Sally Yates, all kinds of folks in the Department of Justice deferring to the FBI because it's their intelligence. It's their transcript. It's their call record. It's theirs. The FBI is. The DOJ is saying, well, this didn't come from, you know, this didn't come from anywhere else. This is your decision to make. And Jim Comey going ahead and making it against the advice of everybody else and them being completely blown away that he's done it. So there's something in there that I need to lay it out the right way. Me talking about it now would do it a disservice. And once I do, I think everybody's going to understand why I have been pounding the table trying to say everybody is wrong. And hopefully, you know, we have another theory out there for people to ponder over.
Okay.
That's what I asked Devin Nunes this question on Friday. Could it have been just a regular old criminal warrant? And he said it could have been anything. Remember?
Mm. Yeah.
We'll get into that later. But there's that. So a lot there. Goodness knows what'll come of this today. I mean, goodness knows whatever kind of, you know, revelation we'll get today from this case. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. If the media takes any time away from analyzing the heavily altered Independence Day video that the president tweeted, heavily altered video, they actually went and got a statement from Bill Pullman.
I know.
Oh my God. Like, you understand why nobody.
My voice is my own.
Yeah.
Oh, and I'm good, not Bill. Running for president this year.
Good. Oh, good, Bill.
I gotta say, my face is now permanently in the presidential library.
Yeah, I know.
It's freaking crazy.
I know. It's fun.
When he reached out to me to ask to if I would do it, I was all excited. I said, oh my gosh, I get to be in like a video meme. This is so fantastic. I love him. He's great. Little did I know. Like, first of all, there's no, unless you know people, like people looking at that have no idea it's me if they've never seen me before in their life. There's not like name badges on people, you know?
Right.
But it's still really funny because like I would comment underneath the thread, like, I love you, Ted Cruz, because I'm looking up at Ted. And you know, that's a little girl like looking up at her. I don't know, I guess her parent or whatever. It's not supposed to be like a romantic type thing, but I thought it was really funny because people would be like, oh, how do you love Ted Cruz? How could you love him? Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, people can't. You,
what, do even the deleted tweets that the president puts on out there go into the library?
It depends. There's an archiver that runs grabbing up all those tweets. I don't know if they get them in there or not.
Mm, gotcha. Okay. Well, that's all I wanted to bring up.
That's why he's really not allowed to delete tweets. He really only does it very few times because, yeah. Let's go more to some pop stuff since we started on that. So we've got Stacey Abrams over the weekend. Did you see this?
Oh, of course it did. She got memed to death. They're trying to make her seem like some sort of a titan, and
believe how weak of a ticket it will be if he picks Stacey Abrams as his vice president?
Well, they're testing the market as hard as they can. Nobody would put this kind of money into photographing her if it wasn't for trying to see what her viability really was. Because my favorite of all the things, because of her with the silhouette shot that they did of her.
Oh my gosh!
My favorite of all of those was they took the silhouette shot of her standing tall, and they placed her among the redwoods that James Comey is looking up at. So you have that old James Comey tweet where he's looking up at the tall redwood trees, and there's just Stacey Abrams three times his size. I love that one.
Oh, I love
people. And what's with that? What's with the obvious occult symbolism of her covering up one eye with the circle American flag?
Yeah, it's really weird on that glass table.
Really, really weird. And somebody memed that too. And I was hoping that somebody did exactly what they did do, because when I saw the picture of her covering up her eye with the circular American flag, I said to myself, oh, somebody's got to replace that that circle with a cookie. And they did.
Oh my God.
So there's one of her holding up a chocolate chip cookie in front of her face now.
So let's just read this really quickly. They're talking about this reporter journeyed to some HIV conference that she was at and she was going to speak at. When she was finally introduced, the women shout and leap to their feet. Young women stand on chairs, camera phones flash. Abrams, who appears both amused and slightly disturbed by the fuss over her, takes control of the chaotic scene. Okay. Listen to this. I've witnessed this level of affection for very few political leaders in the Democratic circles I've been in since the 1980s. They have the last names of Clinton, Sanders, Warren, Jackson, and Obama, both Michelle and Barack. And then they quote her. I'm going to make sure there's peace in this room. Y'all are about to annoy each other with those cameras. So I'm going to stand up and I'm going to stand in front of each group of you, take pictures so you can put your camera down. Here we go. This is it. This is just the most embarrassing paragraph I've ever heard in my life. How this man, I mean, he reminds me of those guys that they picture with all the shirts. The future is female. And the guys are sitting there like, nyeh.
With their mouths wide open.
Yeah, like just completely handing their cojones and every other thing that's attached to it over to whoever to stamp all over those guys, you know? Yeah,
first of all, she's not taken aback or disturbed. She is so hungry for attention. Hungry.
Yes, not only that, it reminds me of this. This is what those guys remind me of. I had to leave the article for a second so that I could show you this. This is what they remind me of here. This is a woman giving a press conference about tennis.
Every player, unless they're from the same household, has to bring their own tennis balls so that you don't touch other people's tennis balls with your hands. You can kick their balls, but you can't touch them. I'm going to blush. Sorry. Of course, if you're playing with someone in your household, you can touch those tennis balls. To avoid confusion between whose balls are whose, you can use a marker like a Sharpie to mark out, to put an X or put some.
Yeah,
that's what
Saturday Night Live used to be.
Yes,
that you know what that is? That is the 2020 version of the sweaty balls bit on Saturday Night Live in the 90s with Anna Gasteyer and Alec Baldwin. They're doing the radio show. He's coming on to promote his recipe for what he called, his last name is Shweddy. And he wants, I'm telling you, this is why the late night comedy shows aren't funny anymore, because this is real.
I know. I said it's gotten this ridiculous. Anyway, back to the men who are writing this paragraph, or the man, or whatever you want to call him. I mean, pandemonium ensues as she walks to the far left of the stage like a runway supermodel.
Yeah, they thought it was an earthquake. Stop. Pandemonium.
Stops on a dime. Poses. Tilts her head slightly and smiles. Camera flashes. Explode. She next pivots and walks slowly to the center of the stage, freezes there, and repeats the pose. Again, the flashes explode. Abrams is summoning her inner actress, and she is both enjoying the moment and getting through it to get to the conversation. It goes on. She then pivots and walks to the far right of the stage, same. You wonder whether she's done this before, because it's not necessarily what one would expect from a 46-year-old politician who was nearly elected the first black female governor in U.S. history.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to know all the things I was nearly? I can give you a long list of the things I nearly was.
Oh, man. I'm not going to go there. Okay.
Just the hell with this. This is pathetic. What who published this? What outlet?
The Washington Post.
Oh, of course. Because democracy dars in darkness.
Durs. It dirted with that photo. Lord. So they're just... I mean, everybody was mocking this article. It wasn't just the right. This was just not received well at all. It's like that guy has lost. The author of this has lost his way.
Yeah, he should go into writing scripts. He should be a playwright.
I wouldn't want to watch any of that nonsense. So this morning, Frank, we had a gym. Pete Hegseth met with some owners of a gym that are reopening in Jersey. I want you to listen to these two clips, and then we're going to touch on another one of these stories.
And Ian, you've made the decision.
We made the decision, yes.
The business has made the decision to open up. Talk to us about that.
Well, when we were asked to shut down, we complied because at the time, the information that we had led us to believe that that was what was best for the greater good. We were told that government was going to be there to have our backs, and we were told 2 weeks. So we did it. And 2 weeks turned into three turned into four, a month turned into two, and here we are, month three, no help, watching the middle class struggle, not just small businesses, but individuals all over the country in these states that are staying locked down beyond the curve being flattened. And we're sick and tired of having our rights trampled on.
So thunderous applause from the hundreds of people that are there. And then he goes on to talk about what precautions they've taken and how. Here, listen to this. This is how they're saying they can get around the stupid executive order that the government made. Hold on.
Waiting.
Correct. Absolutely.
What's your stance going to be? What do you anticipate will happen at 8 o'clock when the state police likely show up here?
We're ready for whatever consequences come our way. We're standing up for what we believe to be right.
And we truly do believe it's right. And the officers took an oath, and they don't have to do this. Because as far as I am concerned, and Ian is concerned, actually, if you look at the executive order 1047-C, it states that gyms have to close to the public and remain closed to the public. The operational definition of public means everyone, every member of the country or a community, and we don't have that. We have members. Once you buy a membership, you separate yourself from the public and you are your own thing. It makes us different.
He has membership at his gym. You can't come in if you're a member of the general public. So he's saying that that's a technicality that allows them to open, right?
Mm. Yeah, he's
also, and it's true. It's true. I mean, it's true. And he also goes through what they're doing inside to protect people, which is far above and beyond anything any damn Walmart does to protect their people. So next door, you've got Walmart, Dollar General, all open to the public. No problem. No. So like people go in there. They wear a mask. They don't wear a mask. They shop. They touch things. You don't see, you know, Walmart employees running around, you know, wiping down all the stands that people are touching all day long. Right.
Right.
Or liquor stores, you don't see the bottles being cleaned off.
I mean, maybe in some, who knows how like small shops are they paying attention to what people are touching? And I don't know, but it's.
Well, not even a half an hour later after this interview, Frank, the police showed up. They didn't just show up, though. They showed up with barricades and concrete fences and all kinds of things to bar the space around these people's building so that nobody can enter.
Are you kidding me?
No. Nope. There's video of them there setting these things up, blocking the streets off, setting up these big, huge cones around their business. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. And people are getting backed into a damn corner. I've got one worse for you. I don't know if you even want to hear this one. That's how bad this is.
Whatever. Frank, at this point.
Do you have anything to say about that one first? I'll shut up.
No. I mean, what's there to say? You're talking about consenting adults who have bought membership to a place. They're obviously, you take a risk. You take a risk. You pretty much sign a waiver to go in to use a gym anyway. There's insurance. There's everything else that goes into play. You are working out with a bunch of other sweaty animals, and there's all types of germs everywhere. It is. I mean, you have an entire staff dedicated to keeping things in a gym sanitized. I was part of that staff for years. I know how, you know. I used to think some of these people that get onto the treadmills and they sweat like profusely. Like, you should see some of these machines after people get off of them. If sweat were blood, it would look like a massacre. So you tell me you go around with your eco-friendly squeeze bottle and you wipe things down with a towel and everything's totally fine. So this is just what it is on the normal. And then, I mean, what else? What else are you going to do? It's fine. Forget about it. Just keep going.
So yesterday there was a woman in Oregon who opened up her salon where she has 23 independent contractors that are working for her. They rent space in her salon so that this is how it works. You know, stylists will rent space inside of a woman's salon and then, or a man's, whatever. And then they will pay, you know, they have their own customers that come in. They collect the money. They pay the rent. That's how it works. They're independent contractors. They're not employees. Well, the state of Oregon decided that they were going to fine this woman. Her name is Lindsey Graham, believe it or not, which is weird.
I think I heard this.
Yeah.
I saw this woman. I saw Lindsey. I said, who the hell's Lindsey? It wasn't Lindsey Graham.
No,
it was another one.
She looks nothing like Lindsey Graham.
Well, that's good.
Did you see her? She's beautiful.
No, I haven't.
Oh, she's gorgeous. Anyway, she decided that she was going to open up on May 5th, which she did. She was fined $14,000 by OSHA, claiming she's putting her employees at risk, but she doesn't have any employees. Not only that, they came after her again. They threatened to fine her $70,000. They're saying they're going to take away her license. And then there's a lot more here, but the worst thing of all, Frank, they sent CPS to her house.
Yeah, see, this is the scary. This is what I'm most scared about. This what, especially me, with the new baby on the way, and this is it, you know, just the way that the federal government keeps the states pretty much in place through bribery because of these block grants and highway funds. You just keep everybody enslaved. CPS is things like CPS are used on a local level to keep people complying with otherwise wholly immoral government action because they don't want to lose their children, which is a reminder that government sees your children as their property. You are merely wards. I mean, they are wards of the state and you are a co-parent with them. That, I mean, it's not true, but this is the way that they see it.
We should talk offline about a strategy for you because I wouldn't want to be in your spot right now.
I have a few things that I'm looking into right now, what my options are, and they're all pretty bleak.
I have one for you.
I can't move out of New York right now.
No. Just relax, okay? I already know that.
Okay.
All right? For God's sakes. We'll talk when we get off here.
All right.
Now, so they're going after her kids, and she's tearing. The press conference is linked in this article from the Gateway Pundit. And somebody needs to do something about this because this is just getting ridiculous. I mean, what is it going to take? What is it going to take?
What, she's from Oregon? It's going to take rebellion. Washington? It's going to take rebellion in Washington. Although I just listened
Oregon. You're right. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's going to take rebellion. That's what it is.
Somebody is saying, I have a feeling we're not being told everything about the situation. Just saying. Like, there has to be some reason why CPS were going to their house. No, no, there doesn't. There doesn't have to be any good reason. This is what this the Oregon does to people.
It's what we're it's popping. It's all over the place. It's not even just Oregon. It's all over the union right now. So it's why? Oh well, what'd you do? What'd you do to get this kind of treatment? I don't know.
Push back against authority. Like this is just. I'm getting more and more frustrated as the time goes on. So just to end this portion of things on a little bit more of a humorous note, I've got a little meme here. COVID-19 is an amazing virus. Key features. Ready?
Oh, I love this. Go ahead.
You saw this one?
I did. Yeah.
It cured influenza, measles, heart disease, cancers, and most other diseases and abolished death from natural causes.
Mm.
It is a smart virus, highly virulent in parks, streets, churches, and schools, the gym, and on beaches. It has no effect on the thousands of employees who work at Kmart, Big W, Target, Bunnings, and especially in liquor stores. The virus seems to target mostly mom and dad businesses and barbershops who always have many fewer customers walk through their doors. It also targets our food chain since it managed to close meatpacking companies and forced farmers to discard their harvest in record time. Construction and supermarket workers have a natural immunity, but would obviously still need to be vaccinated. Also, police uniforms hold the cure. No social distancing, not even masks are needed as long as you wear a police uniform. Let's see, what's a good one? We would need millions of ventilators until suddenly we don't need any. It loves New York. It's a cosmopolitan virus. There's a celebrity strain and then a highly deadly strain.
Yes, that's another one I like.
Every loss of life from this virus is tragic. However, pushing 150 to 500 million people into starvation worldwide is a necessary price to pay.
Yeah.
Experts have pointed out, Frank, that the seasonal virus could easily be defeated by forever abolishing families, individual privacy, untraceable cash money, and all small independent farms and businesses. We all may have it by now, yet although asymptomatic, we can still infect people and test negative or test positive. And our antibodies may or may not give immunity.
You know, I had brought up Washington State because they had that Governor Inslee. I don't know if you heard him. He was on somebody's, where the hell was it? Let me see here. I think, where are we at? Oh, here it is. Here it is. This is on my computer, so I'm not be able to play it. But if you want to, actually, hold on. I'm going to drop it into the Skype for you.
Oh, okay.
This is a minute and a half long. You don't have to play the whole thing, but you have to listen to the nonsense coming out of this very deficient man. You have to listen to what he's saying. He pretty much is. It's coming on right out now that this is. It's not. They say science. They try to use science as this weird bandage that pieces together wholly unrelated issues or unrelated topics of conversation, and they say we need to do this. So he's talking about how this is an opportunity that needs to be seized upon right now.
Oh,
to
I'm,
go
okay
and achieve environmental change.
Oh gosh,
yeah. So he's talking about COVID, but listen to what he says.
This has always been an economic opportunity. But it is such a no-brainer at this moment with the COVID crisis that has precipitated this enormous economic challenge. And we should not miss an opportunity to drive home what Varshi was talking about, that this has enormous backing in our constituents to understand the economic necessity of this. And we should not be intimidated when people say, oh, you can't use this COVID crisis, you know, to peddle a solution to climate change.
Are you kidding me?
We have to recognize the necessity of this moment, that this will allow us to rebuild our economy and jumpstart it.
I'm stopping this nonsense right now. Was there more?
It will allow us to rebuild our economy and jumpstart it. By doing what?
By sanctioning the hell out of everybody.
Yeah. By telling people you can't work, and while you're not working, which is the only income the government anywhere, state or federal, actually has, local, whatever it is. While you're not working, we are going to put trillions of dollars on the charge card. And then on top of that, we are going to put trillions of dollars on the charge card for a completely unrelated issue we think we merely can get away with charging now, which is climate change. And nothing he says makes sense. Nothing he says makes sense. He's a dumb, dumb person. A dumb person. What people did out there in, I mean, I'm from New York. We have a literal chimpanzee in Albany. So I understand that there are smart people in Washington who are just putting up with this, but a majority of something had to get him into office.
I don't know what the hell is going on. I swear these people are so, they're just not smart.
They have blinders on and they're completely reckless. That's what I'm saying. It's the, my mind goes to places that are disturbing as far as trying to project where this is all heading. You can't reason with this. You can't reason with this.
We're going to jump backwards to the Spygate stuff again real quick before I mean, I'm really going to rip my head off if
Before you melt down.
I mean, really? Yeah. I never thought that I would say something like that. That something would make me a little bit more angry than what they did to try to destroy our country completely last election cycle. I'm telling you, I keep on having these weird moments where I'm pontificating on what exactly we're living through right now. This is a precipice that we're living through right now. If we do not win this battle, this war, we are done for. Completely done for.
We're done for as far as the normal order of things and the normal list of possible solutions for problems that have presented itself.
We're done for in terms of any little bit of the Constitution that's left. We're done for in terms of what kind of government we have. Can you, if we don't fix this, we have a rogue judge trying to convict people of perjury that never happened.
Yeah.
That they don't have. I mean, we have judges. That's the thing. That's why I framed that question to Devin Nunes the way I did. Let's pretend in a perfect world, they get all these indictments of these people. They get arrested. They go to jail or they plead and then they wait for their trial. Right. What judges are they going to be before?
Well, this is why of all of the things, all the theories people had on out there, I always did believe it would be in the best interest to try these real traitors before military tribunals. Because I how many times have I said it on this show alone? We are the deep state. We are the deep state. I mean, we were infected by these mind controlling neuro-linguistic programming freaks who are all been trained by, in one way or another, all been trained by the intelligence community. Yep. I mean, the intelligence community has infected the way that news is reported, the way that children are educated. This is all CIA, MKUltra, trauma-based mind control. That's the only reason why a Governor Inslee is elected.
I want to give a shout out to Media Matters, who's probably sitting here listening to our podcast. Have fun with it. Did you see all the tweets that came at me on Friday?
Oh, what happened?
Whew. First of all, we had the Bill Crystal crew underneath my tweet saying, you know, everybody should instead watch the podcast with Molly Jongfast and Rick Wilson that has to do with Adam Schiff. Adam Schiff
Rick
was on
Wilson.
There. Yeah, Rick Wilson and Molly Jongfast sent their little troll army over to comment underneath my tweet about the show with Devin Nunes, saying it's better if people come listen to their podcast where they interviewed Adam Schiff.
Yeah, okay.
So Rick I'm Wilson just expecting, I'm just letting everybody know, I'm very well prepared for any onslaught of bull that's going to come my way because I know it's coming. I'm going to laugh at it, but just expect it. Expect that you'll start seeing it soon. Sure. They're probably poking through my financial background as we speak, trying to figure out a way to take me down. Guess what? It's been done already. People have tried real damn hard and they've failed. So bring it on, bitches.
There you go.
Anyway, so Where were we? Oh, yeah. I talked about the Spygate difference and how the country's going to be. I remember now. Now, moving back to this article, there is apparently a whistleblower that has come forward to the Ohio Star. This was in the library. So you can go to Telegram and go to the library. It's Finch's room. He shares a whole bunch of great stuff in there. The Treasury Department spied on Flynn, Manafort, and the Trump family, says whistleblower. Manafort was one of the people that were unmasked by the Treasury Department, and they were looking for, what do you think? The Black Book Ledger stuff. Right? There's also in here, they say that the whistleblower filed a there's one whistleblower coming forward. Treasury Inspector General Richard K. Delmar. She filed a whistleblower complaint with. She said beyond him acknowledging receipt, they never followed up. Then she had a follow-up saying that she didn't meet the full requirements of a formal complaint. Then they she filed complaints with the Office of Special Counsel, and that's not the same place as the Special Counsel's office, like the Mueller investigation. That's something that kind of runs in tandem to Inspectors General. And then if they say that this program was run out of the Treasury's Office of Intelligence Analysis, which was under the leadership of Ireland. The whistleblower said Treasury should never have been a part of the unmasking of Flynn because its surveillance operation was off the books. That is to say, the Justice Department never gave the required approval to the Treasury program, and so there were no guidelines, approvals, no reports that would be associated with the DOJ-sanctioned domestic surveillance operation. Not only that, this whistleblower is saying that they spied also this way on members of Congress. The Treasury Department under Obama. Are we surprised about that? I'm not.
No.
And Cheryl Atkinson's case continues. And another thing, Frank, our special guest, Svetlana Lokova, however you say her last name, I have to ask her. Her publisher dropped her book.
Before it was released?
Yeah, they backed out of it. It was about ready to go. Stefan Halper threatened to sue them, and they chickened out, and they cut the contract.
Jeez. What the hell is he going to sue about?
I'm saying it's defamation. I want him to sue. Try and sue. The discovery process would be beautiful, because he would have to come forward and prove that anything she said in her book was a lie.
Wow. I guess it was a small publisher that just didn't want that kind of a burden.
No, it was Simon & Schuster.
Oh, jeez.
She's going to self-publish. But she needs support. Now, not only that, she's gone after Seth Abramson, because Seth Abramson is slandering her in his book. He says that I'm going to go back. I got to find it, because this is good. Because you know how much I love Seth Abramson, right?
Yeah.
I love him. I mean, he's great. He says this man published a book with, she puts it in quotes.
He's the bee's knees.
This man published a book with Simon & Schuster falsely accusing me of an extramarital affair with President Trump's national security advisor and of links with Russian intelligence. When I challenged him, instead of apologizing, he called me a liar and blocked me. I'm going to block you today, not because I have anything against you. I don't know you. And not because I'm glad you've had a rough time. I'm not. I'm quite sorry to hear it. But how you've acted towards me in the last week has been disgusting, and I don't need it in my life. Bye. He's a girl. I refuse to change my plans or schedule because of conveniently timed attacks from anyone, whether it's Mike's Flynn brother several days ago, Flynn, quote, acquaintance Svetlana Lokova a couple days ago, or trollbot threats today. I'll make my announcement tomorrow as planned, he says. And then there's
I'm more. Waiting for an announcement from Seth Abramson. Please leave me alone.
She's asking, who did your fact-checking for you? Because you're published under Simon & Schuster and you're lying about me and they allow it. That's her point.
Oh, you know, I was going to ask, who published his book?
Simon & Schuster.
Yeah, there you go. There you have it.
Here goes Rex. By the way, Imperator Rex is back on Twitter. I don't know if everybody knows that. He's at Rexurrection, Rexurrection.
And he's pretty spicy this time around.
Oh, yeah. He's spicy. All right.
You know,
like
he was
a little bit
more reserved in the last go around. But he has come back swinging and
He has no left to give.
Yep. I love it.
So he says, ah, it's Seth again having a tantrum. This time he's blocking Svetlana Lakova of all people. Seth seems to think that he's relevant, dear me. Svetlana will be remembered long after you're forgotten, Seth, you delusional blowhard.
Yeah. I love it.
He's got to he's like, oh, shoot, I never expected her to come and challenge my facts in my book. I never expected the character I wrote about in such wanton ways to come and actually challenge me.
Yeah, she's like a homunculus or a golem or something like that. They turned her into something that they could use, and they never expect that it would turn around and bite them back.
I know, and Svetlana is not having any of it. And she goes, Seth Abramson, your contact about me and General Flynn is lies. You still have not answered. Who did your fact checking? And then she finally says, at the end, she says, you can insult and block me, Seth, but never forget Obi-Wan. If you strike me down, I will become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
She just dropped a Star Wars quote?
She sure freaking did 15 minutes ago.
Well, I just, I like her a lot more now.
I like her a lot more now.
If liberals didn't have double standards, they would have no standards at all. Now, one last thing before we leave, just a little chuckle for people, okay? It's in regards to that tweet by the president of Mad Liberals. He says this guy, I'll tell you who it is. Hold on. I just thought of this at the very end here. Oh, did you see the one that Carpe did of Nancy Pelosi?
Yep.
There's a team of doctors dedicated 24/7 to keep Nancy from falling apart.
So I said, I made a comment recently about, I think it wasn't just one person. It might be just the entire DNC or whatever, that it was pretty much like watching that movie Death Becomes Her, where, you know, yes, you have someone like Barack Obama, who was just a rotting corpse who oversaw a really, really bad, bad administration. But you have the media, which is acting like Bruce Willis in Death Becomes Her, who's the mortician that's trying to keep these two dead women looking, you know, presentable as they're rotting behind, you know, they can't stop. They can't die. They've taken whatever kind of potion that keeps them alive. It's the same exact thing. You have a team of people that are trying to prop up a reality that's just flaking apart. Horrible.
Oh, goodness. So, Josh Campbell, do you know who that is?
No.
CNN security correspondent, former FBI agent and diplomat, Navy officer, CNN. You should see his profile picture.
He probably looks really serious.
He does. He's standing there in front of a blue background with a very serious face on. A slight smile. The lips are curved up slightly at the edges.
Oh, boy.
He says, the American president has retweeted a doctored video of his head superimposed on the actor who played the president in an alien invasion movie.
Oh, no.
16,800 people responded to him.
0.8?
Yes.
The point, oh my, it would have been bad enough if it was just 16,000, but it's 16.8.
Well, it's 16,800 people who think he's a toolbox.
Oh my God, what else?
I said, this is called a meme, something the left can't do. It's also called grassroots organic support, something the left doesn't have. And there's also something called enthusiasm in there. Spell it with me now. ENTH. Oh, it doesn't matter. You don't have that either.
Yep.
There's no better proof than that Washington Post article about Stacey Abrams.
Oh my, they can't even manufacture support for things.
Like, you can't even imagine what it was like, a celebrity kind of reception behind closed doors that nobody will ever see. But trust us, it happened.
300 people came from all over the country, Frank. 300.
Yeah, from all over the country to see Stacey Abrams waddle into a room.
300 people came to see me and Scott Pressler on a random Saturday.
Jeez.
I can't. And they didn't come to see me. They came to see Scott, but I was there. Anyway. It's true.
Oh, I know. I know. This is all farcical.
Did he get it?
Oh my gosh. Josh was grabbing a clip for me that I wanted to play today of Chris Wallace.
Uh-huh.
Apparently he did something really stupid yesterday and I couldn't find what it was or the clip to it anywhere. People are freaking out about Chris Wallace.
What did he do?
I don't know. They won't get specific on it. It was something he did yesterday on his show that nobody has a clip to. So I asked our good friend Josh, who clipped up our interview, by the way, aka Real Dirty on Twitter. Josh, amazing.
Oh,
guy.
Yeah. I actually spoke to him a little bit last night. Because he built a really great thread around our interview, and it was just there's something in there for everybody, especially the major hat tip that Devin Nunes gave to
everyone.
people like you, Josh, Rex, everybody we mentioned that are building thread. I'm not part of that group where, you know, investigating and building threads and really putting out all of this open source work there that is obviously being noticed by people who matter. And it's really great. I mean, there was so much that you can take away from that that interview outside of the questions and the answers that they were given. So
yes. How many times have you listened to it? I've listened to it 3 times.
Just twice.
Yeah.
Okay. I was in the chat room just hanging out when it was premiering on my channel last night. So that was good.
Cool. Well, there'll be much more to come. I'm behind the scenes with my devil hat on.
I miss a lot when we're in the middle of an interview. I do a lot of active listening, and you have to, because you can't, you know, and I'm always looking for ways to throw follow-ups in there, and there are certain bells that are always rung. But other than that, the production side of me, because I have to be host and producer as well, I usually miss little tiny things that people say sometimes until maybe like the day after, because I'm just thinking about the presentation, the interview, the technology we're running, whatever. So it was great to hear it again because, like, oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
There's a few things last night I got.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, they don't need to bring in Brennan and Clapper to question them.
Yeah.
Which was really, really cool to hear. He's right.
Things like little tiny answers like that. You're like, okay. You kind of just take that at face value, but then you really realize, what the hell did that mean?
Yeah. So you have been listening. You have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with
New Week Monday Val and
me, Beans. You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and RadioInfluence.com. We will see you on Wednesday.
Later.
I'm Jerry P. Tuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out RadioInfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.